Just as we've used up all of the phone numbers and some area codes, we're quickly claiming the last available identifiers on the internet. And in less than a year, the internet will run out of IP addresses. To discuss the shortage and what it means for the way we communicate, we're joined by Alexis Madrigal, senior editor and lead technology writer at TheAtlantic.com. Welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you, Leonard. Appreciate it.
What is an IP address? Is it like a phone number for the web?
It is like a phone number for the web. I mean, I think the way to think about it is that every single piece of equipment that goes on the internet needs a way for every other piece of equipment that goes on the internet to find it. And so essentially there's just a number, a 32-bit number, and that 32-bit number is the unique identifier for any machine. And when you send a message on the internet, right, it gets broken up into packets, and those packets go out across the network and then get reassembled at the other end of the communication. And without that number, without the IP address, not all the packets can find their way.
We were just talking about the at sign, the A with the little curlicue, that got used in the very first email message. That covers a lot of those 32 bits?
Well, it's actually the number. It's more like 128.0. You know, something like that. That is the actual IP address, and then the domains kind of translate some of these things right into the actual from the things that we use to communicate with people into the things that computers use to communicate with each other.
Does anyone ever use the numerical version of an IP address?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those things are definitely used. And in fact, in the old days, I don't know if you remember the internet in the 90s, you usually had to type them in various places. You were setting up configurations. Things have gotten a lot easier now. Mm. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that you're seeing an explosion of different devices going onto the internet. I mean, it's so much easier to connect now than it was in the days of, you know, Windows 95, that you're seeing the, you know, something like 4 billion IP addresses that are available actually be used up.
Well, I want to get to that in just a moment. First of all, what does IP stand for?
Oh, Internet Protocol. It's the language that computers use to communicate with each other.
And how are they related to domain names?
The IP address domain name they're all basically identifiers for computers, right? And there are different types of registrars that handle different types of kind of name to number conversions, as well as sort of handing out blocks of numbers and dealing with names. And there have been a series of different organizations that have dealt with that through the years.
So we have, when I type google.com into my web browser, that's just directing me to an IP address. Would that also apply to other things like my cell phone or iPad? So they're all using IP addresses. Is that why we're running out of them? Because you said there were 4 billion or so people or 4 billion addresses worldwide. 4.5 billion is what I've read. There aren't 4.5 billion people using the internet.
Right, right. That's true. But each device, right, gets its own IP address, or at least that's the theory. In recent years, there's this thing called network address translation. So that essentially, like, your home network to the internet seems like one IP address. And that's actually something that kind of internet purists are disturbed by, because in the kind of pure internet model, what you want is you want every single device to have its own IP address. I mean, that was kind of the original thinking behind the internet, that if there was something connected to the network, then you could find it. There'd be sort of an end-to-end kind of solution. And now we're kind of hiding a bunch of devices behind this network address translation, so that, like, your router, right, the thing that provides Wi-Fi for your house, and those sort of things, it's just like one IP address to the internet. But inside your own house, you obviously have multiple devices connected to the web and the other internet services.
This reminds me of when we thought that the country was running out of phone numbers. Is the problem that there are only so many combinations of numbers for an IP address?
That's exactly it. There's only so many combinations.
But we're talking about 32 bits. But 32 is a lot more than what we get with phone numbers.
That's true. We got more, but there's also more devices. I mean, and if you look at some future developments, they're looking at expanding the number of possible combinations to something like 3.4 times 10 to the 38th, right? So enough, an incredible amount of space. And I mean, it was just that in the old days, people thought, just like with telephones, right? People thought that 32 bits would be enough. It was hard to see at that time the kind of explosion that would eventually happen. And if you think about it, it was a few very high-level computer types like coming up with this sort of stuff, and it was hard to imagine perhaps exactly how far things would diffuse.
They couldn't imagine that we'd have those RFID chips used to track Walmart merchandise, for example.
Or any, I mean, I would think the mobile devices are a big part of it. I mean, I think something, you know, a kind of necessary bit of context here is that in the old days, if you go back and you look at the phone numbers and look at people saying, like, oh, why are we running out of phone numbers? It's always the new devices getting blamed. And there's some truth to that, right? I mean, in the old days, it was like, oh, all these fax machines getting added and all these, like, you know, mobile telephones getting added. But it's partially also, as people have found out with phones, that there are all these kind of regulatory infrastructural problems. There are, like, ways that numbers were allocated that maybe in retrospect didn't make sense. And we're dealing with a lot of those same things in the Internet Protocol address shortage.
I'm talking with Alexis Madrigal, senior editor and lead technology writer for The Atlantic .com about the possibility that IP addresses will run out. In fact, there's an exact date that's been given, June 20th, 2011. Do we know for sure?
We don't know for sure. It's one of those, it's almost like you can think of it as akin to like one of those world population clocks. You sort of calculate on the basis of some, you know, rate of address usage, you know, when something like this is going to happen. But of course, like with demographic data, you can't tell when there's going to be an inflection point. You can't tell when things are going to change. And you can't tell when, with something like IP addresses, when some, you know, technological disruption might come along and make it easier for us to sort of push this problem farther off into the future.
Now, local phone numbers are handled by our local telecoms, but who's in charge of distributing IP addresses?
Right. Well, so there is an organization called ARIN, and they are one of these regional providers. So across the world, you have to have a way of handing out blocks of these numbers.
ARIN is the American one, American Registration for Internet Numbers.
Right. Exactly. So, and there are various regional entities. And actually, this history is pretty long and complicated of how this place came to be in charge of doing this particular service. But that's who kind of controls it. And they are currently, along with a lot of other major internet players, trying to figure out exactly what to do about this shortage. And there are various different proposals on the table. The kind of biggest one, the biggest change that people are thinking about is to actually change the entire internet protocol to IPv6, which is this a new type of protocol that uses a bigger number. And if you've got a bigger number, then you have a much larger universe of possible combinations of that number. And at least, you know, insofar as we can see it now, that would give us enough IP addresses for a long time. But there's definitely some issues with making that transition.
Well, there was a time when phone numbers were just 7 digits. In fact, there was a time when it was just 4 digits. And then they added area codes. And then you have to dial 1 before the area code, each intended, I guess, to extend the numbers. Are we talking about the same sort of thing here?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated, as I wrote a story about this for TheAtlantic.com, and some of my readers informed me how different it was. One of the interesting pieces of it is that it's not built as, like, IPv6. It's not built like sort of as an extension of IPv4. So that is to say, like, at a certain point, if you want to switch, you have to, like, turn off one thing and turn on the other. And that makes it a really difficult problem, because what you end up having is a little bit of like a classic standards battle. Like, if you think about something like railroad gauge, like the actual width of the tracks or something, right? People have to figure out, like, exactly how everyone is going to match up on the same width, right? And it's a kind of similar problem with Internet Protocol, right? Everyone right now is on IPv4, And, you know, in the future, perhaps, although some people doubt this, we'll go to IPv6.
Version.
But everyone's trying to, version 6. Yeah, but everyone's trying to game the system to sort of maximize their, the goodness for them, right? So they don't want to switch too early, but they don't want to switch too late. And so in one of these kind of timing issues, it ends up being really hard to get everyone to do it all at the same time.
Now, how much of this could just be one of those typical scares? We heard years ago that Social Security would run out of all of its funding by the year 2000. That didn't happen. Then we had the Y2K scare.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think there's certainly a little bit of overblownness to the idea of, like, we're running out. You know, I think that's we're not going to experience, like, widespread disruption of internet services. I mean, I don't think that's what people are imagining would happen. I mean, I think
just more iPhone dropouts, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it could get any worse, judging by my service. But yeah, I think what we kind of can bank on, even though we're not sure exactly what type of technical or kind of social solutions will be found, is that the internet is just too valuable to let break. And I think that's kind of the ultimate lesson from the telephone example, is that people will come up with solutions. And they're, you know, if that means that all of a sudden it gets really easy to switch to IP version 6, then maybe that'll happen. Or maybe people will come up with better ways of doing network address translation. Or maybe there'll be ways of, like, sort of easing the transition so that you don't have to do that, you know, switch one on and switch the other one off. And I think, you know, we'll see that as this sort of problem gets worse.
Do we have any sense of what percentage of all possible IP addresses is still available?
Oh, I think it's 5% or so of the IP version 4. Yeah, I mean, that's why the projections are that we're going to run out fairly soon. But like I said, I think there are definitely ways of alleviating the problem. And one of the big ones is that there are organizations, because of the kind of history of the way these things were doled out, there are organizations that have big blocks of addresses, right? So Aaron is saying we only have, you know, 5% left. But there are lots of big companies that and government people, universities, that still have big blocks. So there are people out there who want to essentially create, like, tradable markets that you could buy and sell these things. And that would, you know, so there are, that's not really a technical solution so much as it's a social solution to this problem, of basically saying, like, well, maybe we actually have plenty of addresses, but a lot of them are being held in places where they're not being used. One person gave the example of the company NordicTrack holds a bunch of IP addresses. They were assigned them a long time ago. They're now out of business, and none of them actually are active. But it's hard to get them to be released out into the system.
Why is that? Telephone numbers get released.
It's true. You know, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, like, kind of the intricacies of the history and, you know, how you actually go about finding some place to be, somebody to actually do that. It's like it's actually kind of a complicated and very a technological kind of thing. Like, that's not the problem.
Well, I can't wait for June 20th, 2011, see if the whole world descends into chaos. But thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us.
Right.
Alexis Madrigal, senior editor and lead technology writer for TheAtlantic.com, which, of course, has its own IP address. Thanks again.